All right, so we're going to talk about this issue of money. And we're continuing the series, No Regrets. Last couple weeks, we've talked about different things. Steve, 2 weeks ago, talked about this idea of, man, what if we were to say with our attitudes, God, not my will, but your will be done. And then Tom last week talked about, instead of living a life full of fear, what if instead we use that same energy and said, God, I trust you, even though I don't know what's going to happen. Instead of us trying to take control ourselves and fearing or being anxious all the time, saying, God, I trust you with who I am. Today, we're going to look at our possessions, our money. What does God have to say about that? Because if we want to live a life with no regrets, because, man, I'll tell you what, we have no idea how long we're going to be here on this earth. I'm not saying that you're going to die tomorrow, but we don't know. So what if we could live life to the full, as Jesus talked about, every single day of our lives, intentionally, and having his perspective on how we live life, his God view compared to how the world says we should live our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And let me just pray one more time, just asking God to speak through his word. Because really, I was reminded even this last week, if we meet here and we just talk about stuff, we're just wasting our time. But if we're here intentionally to say, God, we want to hear from you to know the truth of how to live our lives, that's a whole different realm. Because he is the one that can speak into us. He's the one that can share and show us how to live this life. He's the one who created us. He wants us to experience the best life we can. And I don't know about you, but I want that life. So let's just pray together as we look into his word a little later. God, we ask that in these moments that your spirit would speak to us. This issue of money, maybe for some students here this morning, maybe they're thinking, well, you know, I don't have a job. I don't have a ton of money. I just have a little allowance. God, I believe that it's in moments like this, at this time for these students, that if we can have the right perspective going into when we get that job, when we begin to have finances that are more than we can imagine even right now, that God, if that healthy perspective and view, your God view, begins now, we'll save ourselves a lot of trouble. A lot of things that people deal with that are adults now, we won't have to deal with because we've settled it in moments like this. So I ask that you'd speak, and God, that your word would come alive. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to ask you, how many of you like money? By a raise of hands, how many like money? Some? How about if I have a wad of cash in my hand? How many of you want some money? Not everybody wants money? Are you kidding me? I tell you what, I love money. I like it. It smells good, right? Crazy story, I'll tell you about it later, but one time when I was a kid, about fourth grade, I actually swallowed my offering. I'll tell you about that later, okay? Quarters in my mouth, swallowed it during the service, thought I was going to die. Had to go to the hospital. But I love money, not enough to eat it anymore, but I love it enough to have it, to possess it, to be able to use it, to buy stuff, to give to people, great stuff. And I'm sure we all love money. In fact, maybe some of you can relate with this very popular song.
I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
So you guys know that song? Bruno Mars, I wanna be a billionaire. That is the natural tendency that I have. I want more and more money. Maybe not necessarily even a greed thing, but man, I'd like to have more money. And how many of you know people who are rich in your life? Anybody? Okay, that's good. Now, that's a relative question, because I could name someone to you, and you could probably think of someone who's more wealthy than that, or maybe some of you, maybe you're not even sure, but did you know the Bible talks about money a lot? In fact, did you know that in the Bible, there are over 2,300 verses that talk about money or possessions? Jesus, when he spoke to people, he spoke in parables a lot of times. The Bible says that even at a certain point, he didn't speak unless it was in a parable. That two-thirds of Jesus' parables were about money or possessions. In fact, the only other topic that was not talked about as much as money, or that was talked about just a little bit more than money, was the kingdom of God. And that's a pretty huge topic. But the second most popular topic was this issue of money. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, Kev, why is that? Why does the Bible talk so much about it? It doesn't seem like it's a very spiritual issue. I beg to differ. In fact, I believe God and Jesus intentionally spoke about money so much because maybe God realized, or I know that God knows, that the very, let me say it this way, that his biggest competitor in our life, in who he is money. In fact, Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, he says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, wherever you spend your money, wherever you invest yourself, that's what you really care about. If I were to go and see like all the stuff that you bought this last year, I could probably tell you a lot about you just by looking at what you spend it on. In the same way, God knows that his biggest competitor is our stuff, the stuff that we accumulate, because that is a heart issue. That is a deep spiritual issue. And so, man, money, we need to talk about money. There's no better place to talk about money than here in Fuel, over in church, in a setting where God speaks to us, because, man, it's a huge, huge issue. Now, going on to what I want to talk about, I asked you this idea of, you know, if you know someone who's rich, because I want to read a passage of Scripture to you, found in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I encourage you, if you have your Bible, do me a favor, just raise your Bible up in the air if you have your Bible. Awesome. Guys, thanks so much for bringing your Bible. I want to encourage you guys. This is the most powerful tool that you could ever carry around. This is literally God saying, I want to speak to you. And I don't know about you guys, but I'd love for you to bring your Bibles here. I know we talk about it, but if you need a Bible, come see me. I want to give you one, or I want to provide at least an opportunity for you to get one. I'll tell you what, there's so many benefits of carrying a Bible around. You can write stuff into it, highlights, remember even things like I talk about this morning, exactly where it is so you can look at it later. But I want to talk to you about 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In fact, if you have your Bible, feel free to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. Because this is one of the instances that God talks about money. In fact, listen to this. Verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, teach those who are rich in this world. All right, stop right there. I asked you before, how many people know people who are rich? Because you know what? There is probably a surprise answer to this question. In fact, check out this screen for a second. Turn off your mic when you're not supposed to. How many of you own a car or have access to a car? Your parents own a car. Okay, good. How many of you have a television in your house? Good. At least one television, maybe for some of you. How many of you have shoes that you're currently wearing? Or sneakers? Okay. You have access to clean water? Is that some of you guys? Mm-hmm. And how many of you have a toilet? And how many of you used it today? All right, Tom did for sure. But honestly, you look at those statistics, we are all rich. Each one of us. is rich. It's talking to us. This verse, before we even start, is talking to us, not millionaires or I just want to be a billionaire. No, it's all of us. And so let's look at this passage. 1 Timothy 6, let's continue on, verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Now, man, this is crazy. Did you read that first part? Help them not to be proud. Help them not to, or teach them not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Now, you know what? Someone a long time ago probably heard this or read this passage because they thought, man, you know what? Maybe this money issue will be a big issue for people. So what if we put on our actual bills, in God we trust, as a reminder that we shouldn't trust in this stuff. You know, that way, when everyone sees it and they spend it, they can see it and look at it, because, man, it's like multiple places on the back. The coins have it on there. Every one of them has in God we trust. I mean, but do we listen to that? Do we even acknowledge that? Because when I look at a lot of people in this world, and my natural tendency is to be like, you know what? If I just had that amount of money, then I'll feel secure. Then I'll feel like, oh, man, now I've arrived. When I get to that place, or when I get that, oh, man, now I feel good. Well, no. It's saying, hey, it's so unreliable. Don't trust in this stuff. Trust in God. Let's continue on. It also says, hey, if you trust in God, that he will richly give you all that you need for your enjoyment. And then it continues. Verse 18. Tell them to use their money to do good. That's our theme this year. Do something good. God says your money is one way that you can do good. And then he says they should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Did you hear that? Richness maybe isn't about money at all. Continue on. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Or some versions even say, life that is truly life. So let me just recap that. Teach people in this world who are rich not to put their trust in money, but to put their trust in God. And as they do that, may they be generous, may they be always sharing, may they look for opportunities to do good. And then if you do that, then you'll see good works happen in your life. You'll see the things that you do with your money if you're generous. Then God says, man, then you're going to experience true richness. You're going to experience that passion that you're looking for, that joy when you feel like, man, if I could swim like Mr. McDuck in DuckTales, which maybe you guys don't even know about, if I could have that stuff and I could just have this all over my house, I'd feel rich. No, I disagree. Jesus isn't saying that. God is not saying that. He's saying you want true life? You want life that's truly life? You got to be generous. And I want to read this to you, and this is in the Message version, the exact same passages. Listen to this. It says, tell those who are rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them instead to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever imagine, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. And if they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly, truly life. Now, we heard that song at the very beginning, that song that's kind of a mantra for our world. I just want to be a billionaire. Now, listen, that's not God's view. God's view, or if God had a song about this, this is what that song would be. In this passage, listen to this. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away. You guys know this song? Give it away, give it away. Red Hot Chili Peppers? Oh, yeah. Turn it up. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away now. Now listen, that song, the guy who even sang this song is not a believer. But there's a story behind this song that I'm going to post on Facebook later today so you can hear the whole story. But to sum up that story, listen to this. He had a girlfriend one of the band members. And he was going through their closet one day, or his girlfriend's closet, and saw this incredible leather jacket. And he was like, oh my goodness, that thing is unbelievable. And her immediate response, she wasn't super wealthy, her immediate response was, you can have it. If you like it, you can have it. Just take it. And he was so blown away by her generosity, he was like, I've never had someone say something like that before. Like, everyone that he knew growing up was always about, what can I get? What can I acquire? It's mine. Protect, keep, save, hoard. And she was like, you know what? You're never meant to live like that. And so she just gave it to him. And he was so blown away that he wrote this song. And it began to change his perspective. This is a perspective from God. Like, this is the truth that the scripture's saying. You want to experience true life. And this girl had, like, incredible joy and happiness. And it changed this person's life, which this song has then impacted other people's lives as well. So, I want to continue on. What God is saying in this verse. He's saying, giving to others, being generous, using your money to do good, sharing with others. These are the things that allow you to experience. If you do this, you'll experience life that's truly life. Now, I want to look at the other side of that. Solomon, with the wisest man in the world, listen to what he says about money. Ecclesiastes 5:10. He said this, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless is it to think that wealth brings true happiness? That's exactly what God's talking about here. God's saying, man, you want true life? You want to experience that? Live as though you're generous, giving to others, doing good with your money. Now, to kind of wrap up what I'm talking about here, I have some money here. And for many people, you live one of two ways. For many people, you live as though you have like a closed fist mentality, your perspective on money. It's a closed fist. You're saying, when you say, it's like your perspective is this. You're saying, you know what, this is mine. I've earned this. I have every right to do what I want to do with my own money. That's a closed fist perspective of money. But what God is saying, instead of this, God is saying, what if you were to live like this, with your hand open? But you were able to say, God, I acknowledge that you own everything, that money is not going to last forever, that it's going to be gone when I'm gone. It's not going to make a difference when I die. Someone else is going to get even my money. But God, I bring you what I have today. I give it to you. I surrender. I do not trust in this, but instead I trust in you. And as a result, God, I give you this. I surrender this to you and ask that you would use me, my life, and my money and my stuff to impact people for your kingdom. That's the open hand perspective, the God view versus this is mine, I'm keeping this, get away from me, don't tell me what to do. And this is the natural response. But God's saying, you want life? It looks like this. Or you can think you're having life. When Solomon says, whoever loves money will never have enough. You always be trying to protect it, making sure no one's got anything. But this way is so much more freeing, enjoyable. And God even says, he'll take care of your needs. He'll supply everything that you need. And you'll enjoy life that way. Now, I just want to kind of wrap things up by reading a couple passages of Scripture found in Psalms, Proverbs, and Luke. Listen to this, because the Bible talks about generosity more than just this passage. I remember I said 2,300 times. Here's a couple of passages. Listen to this. Psalm 112:5. It's not on the screens, but listen. Psalms 112:5. Good comes to those who lend money generously. Proverbs 22:9. Blessed are those who are generous. Luke 6:38 says this. It's Jesus. He says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and pouring into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount that you give back. Did you hear that? The amount that you give will determine the amount you get back. God is in control of all things. He says, if you're generous, if you follow my lead, I will pour out blessing upon you. I'll provide what you need. I'm not saying he knows exactly how much, or I'm not saying that he's going to give you $1 million, but he's going to take care of you. Now, I want to ask you this with these two things on the screen here. How are you living your life? We heard the truth, very simple to understand, hard to do. Are you living your life like this? This is mine. My possessions, my money, my time, everything that's mine, I'm going to hold on to it and do what I want to do. Or are you living open-handed? Are you saying, God, it's yours. It's yours. Can you imagine how many people we could impact through all of us if we were just generous? If we were willing to live with a God perspective, starting now, when you guys have careers and a home and cars, man, if you had this perspective starting now through the rest of your life, we could change literally the world. And I believe that we are the solution to issues like poverty and clean water access. People with needs, like God wants to use us to be the solution in that. I believe that wholeheartedly. Now, can you imagine all the time and energy we'd save from people that are going to like, that are later on in their life, like bankrupt and different things? Man, we could save a lot of pain if we live with this open hand perspective starting now and experience the life that is truly life. Just to finish up here, I heard someone once say this, that we are most like God when we give. We're most like God when we give. In fact, have you ever noticed the verse that probably many of you know, maybe you have heard before, John 3:16 says this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he..." Yeah. The key in that whole thing, Jesus was given, that he gave. He didn't have to. He didn't owe us anything. He gave. Man, if you want to be like Christ, if you want to grow in your relationship with God, if you want to experience life that's truly life, be an extravagant giver, generous giver. And I'm not just talking about giving offering to the church. That, it doesn't even begin there. God, I believe, and we'll talk about this later throughout the year, the idea of a tithe, 10%, the way this issue of money, as I talked about in the beginning, it's going to be the primary competitor for our hearts. God says, you know, I'll give you 90%. Just remember that I give you everything. So by doing that, make it a practice to put aside 10%. He doesn't need it, but it's for our benefit to remember that he's the one that owns everything. So we don't have to get so self-consumed looking at ourselves and saying like, man, what am I going to do? But generous giving goes beyond the 10%, where we look for opportunities with our hearts and our eyes, and we see and we respond in that moment, as 1 Timothy talked about. Now, before we wrap up, I'm going to have the band come up, but I want to have you play, or have you just watch one last clip before we get back into worship that kind of summarizes everything we talked about, and then we're going to sing a song. So watch this clip. As I conclude this message, why don't you do something for me? Would you just close your eyes? Close your eyes. No one looking around. I want you to do an exercise with me as your eyes are closed. I want you to take a deep breath. So breathe in, hold it, and then exhale. Do it one more time. Breathe in. Breathe out. With your eyes closed, I want you to think about that breath you just took, or those breaths you just took. Because really, that's a gift from God to us. Every time we take a breath, it's a gift. And God has provided us that breath. In fact, did you know the Bible says at the very beginning of time that He took dirt and dust and breathed into that dust, His breath, into Adam, and that's how life began. Isn't it crazy that even still today, we depend on that breath? If we don't get it, we die. And God richly blesses us with that little small thing that yet is so important for us to exist. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't have life. He owns everything, and He is so generous enough to allow us to breathe in and out all the time, every day, for the rest of our lives. What if we were to say to God today, with your eyes closed, think about this. God, I give you everything that I have, my money, my possessions. I live with my hand wide open, even my breath. I give it back to you. Use me, use my money, use my stuff for your purposes as worship. It's all for you. I give it to you. I want that life that is truly life beginning now. Thank you. Bless me as I continue to bless others with what you've given me. Now, we're going to sing a song here as we continue our worship. And we're going to talk about, I found a song and the guys here are going to play it, called Breathing the Breath by Matt Redman. Listen to the chorus because we're going to sing it together and it's new, but listen to the words that say this in the verse and chorus. It says, we have nothing to give that didn't first come from your hands. We have nothing to offer you which you did not provide. Every good, perfect gift comes from your kind and gracious heart. And all we do is give back to you what's always been yours, Lord. We're breathing the breath, and that you gave us to breathe. We worship you, we worship you. And we're singing these songs with that very same breath to worship you, to worship you. Take time to stop and remember, even that breath you breathe in. As we sing this, God has given. May it be a reminder of His generosity, and may our response be worshiping Him. Let's stand together as we sing this song.